All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Shit! I'll fucking take all you want! Of course, you no doubt recognize the theme music from the 1938 film classic, The Adventures of Robin Hood, starring one Errol Flynn.
Right, one of the good Robin Hood movies.
Yes. I think we're about to get another good Robin Hood movie.
I hope so.
I think so.
I hope so. I've seen some of the trailers, and I hope so.
Well, let's open the show by saying it. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 191, OG of Sherwood.
I don't know that I was necessarily in Sherwood.
There probably isn't a Sherwood in here. Probably not. Probably like Sherwood Plaza. Now.
Yeah, it's like, probably a bank or a Starbucks. It's
quite a big area. So it was a forest. It wasn't the Sherwood tree. Elf wasn't making cookies in Sherwood.
You never know.
Just because it's those called Sherwood doesn't mean that there was just one, sir.
You know, I'm just saying. Wood, put it out there.
Multiple of
woods, forest. All right.
It's not called Sherwoods.
It's a cluster of Starbucks and banks.
That could be.
All right, there you go.
A lot of Starbucks over there?
Pretty good amount of Starbucks over there. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah?
I didn't go in one. I'm proud.
Didn't?
I did not go into a single Starbucks.
Why?
Walked past all of them.
How'd you get past? What were you like on? Were you on detox?
No,
or?
I was drinking tea.
Oh, I see.
Lots of tea.
Uh-huh.
While I was everywhere I went, someone was giving me a cup of tea.
And peeing.
And peeing, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, tell us about the motherland, OG. Well, not your motherland.
No, certainly not my motherland. England was a blast, man. I had a really good time. I saw all the major sights, you know, Big Ben.
Oh,
Parliament.
Yeah? Automatic comics?
I did see Automatic Comics out in Corsham. And I went to Bath, which was really awesome to see the Roman baths.
Good, so people didn't think you stunk?
No, people didn't think I stunk.
Did you actually bathe in Bath?
I did not bathe in Bath, no.
You could have just, like, washed your hands or something.
Just, like, and, like, just kind of sneak up onto
just
the water.
A little bathroom.
The water
in
was
bath.
A little low that day. I might have used the bathroom and washed
there
my hands.
There you go.
So, yeah, I think I did use the bathroom, actually, in the baths in the museum. So, there you go. I did a lot of comic and toy stores. While I was over there.
And what'd you bring me?
I have some stuff for you, but
we're
going to save it for...
Okay.
I'm going to give it to outside of the show.
Oh, I see.
But I went to Forbidden Planet.
Yes, great.
In London.
Which I like the New York version.
Yeah, the London version was pretty nice, and I saw some stuff over there from friends of ours.
Oh yeah,
I saw some of the October Toys Gwyn's for sale over there.
Nice.
I saw the Timony Brothers Night Owls book prominently displayed in their graphic novel section over there.
Uh huh.
Sweet. Nice. I went to the Kid Robot store. I went to Eccentric, which is a great toy store out in Bath.
Okay.
Really cool stuff, really fun stuff. So that was a good find. A lot of gaming stores out there.
Yeah, they're huge.
I went to there was two Warhammer stores I went into.
Not Warhammer. What?
40K.
Games Workshop.
Games Workshop, yeah. There were two Games Workshop stores. And then I saw another store. It was called Orcs and Goblins. And it was just a generic gaming store.
Okay.
Right out in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
You know, walk outside, big building, 400 years old. Take two steps back, dice bins as far as the eye can see.
So, gotcha.
Yeah, that's nice. But I went to the Globe.
Oh.
I did the tour of Shakespeare's Globe where they were.
The new Globe.
The old Globe.
Right.
Did you know the new Globe only opened in 97?
Yeah.
I thought it was old. I mean, I knew it was recent, but I thought it was like the 70s.
No, I think they were working on it.
They were working on
it
for 20 something years, yeah. I think. Yeah. So I did that. It was a good time.
Good.
Good time. I came
back.
Did you
see a show at the Globe, or did you just walk around?
I did not see a show. Unfortunately, Midsummer's was going on, and I really wanted to see it. But the tickets were not available on the day that I was there. And I just ran out of time. So
gotcha.
Maybe next time. I think sometime next year they're doing the Scottish play. So
maybe I
could try to get back. My flight home was epically long.
How long? 9 hours?
Nine plus hours.
Now, wait. Is it 9 American hours or?
It's just 9 hours.
Okay.
I had to fly around the ash cloud.
Oh, I see.
But it allowed me to watch a lot of movies.
Uh-huh.
I watched Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, The Book of Eli, and Half of the Informant before I fell asleep.
Book of Eli?
Yeah.
But that's not commercially available on DVD, sir.
Neither was Legion when I watched it or when I was considering watching it.
Oh, I see.
They had the selection on the airplane was really good. They had something like 35 movies you could pick from.
Wow.
Like Avatar was in there.
Wow.
Which was, when you consider it had only been out on DVD a week or two before and whatnot. So I didn't get to see Iron Man 2 when I was out there. Although it opened a week earlier out there than it did here.
And you didn't miss anything.
I hear that it's been pretty good. It's been getting pretty decent. I think 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is good on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm hearing a lot of mixed reviews. I'm hearing some good things.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah?
I know
fans of the show
that
saw it that said that very much enjoyed it.
No, I'm. You know what it is? In the first 10 or 15 minutes, you're over the character. But you still have to deal with him for the next, whatever the length of the film is.
Hmm.
So what is interesting is that they did try to cram 20 years of Iron Man history into.
I hear he gets a little drunk in this one. Is that true?
And a little throwdown with Rhodey.
Going down a dark, dirty path.
No, it's over.
Oh, that's over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's already sober before the end of
it. Solved. It's already over. I mean. Don't get me wrong. It was handled in an appropriate way. Of course, with comics, you can stretch out these sorts of things for long periods of time, and they did in the comics. But in the film, it was kind of like problem and resolution.
Well, before we talk a little bit more about Iron Man,
because
we're going to talk a little spoilery here for just a quick second, why don't we do this?
Uh-huh.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Right, because this kind of fits in with the news. So
right.
We should say now that if you have not seen Iron Man 2 yet, the following information is considered to be spoiler material.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
After the credits.
Which was not a surprise to anybody.
Okay, I should say that I did not see the movie yet. I'm actually going to go see it probably in the next couple days.
Uh-huh.
But I did see the end credit roll.
Right.
I found it online because in preparation for the show.
Sure.
I'm a little disappointed at how they handled it.
And you should be.
And I'm not disappointed that it was Thor. I anticipated Thor. I anticipated the tie-in to be. I think everybody did.
Who said that? We said that 4 months ago.
What I am.
Thor would have to be the tie-in
right.
here.
What I am disappointed in, though, is that it's just the hammer.
Okay.
Why not Thor?
Yeah, because
we've seen, and this relates into the news, we've seen a costumed pick.
One pick,
but
barely costumed.
Right, but what the pick means, right, is that the concept is solidified in that, I mean, you could make out aspects right. of the costume, so you know what they're, right. And you could see a profile of the face, so you know what the character looks like. Why not Thor? Why not just put him in there?
Because there's
not to mention why finding just his hammer? Why he just is he on a bender and he left the hammer behind?
That's clearly going to be a tie-in
to what happens in the Thor film.
Whatever happens in the Thor film, you know. And nobody, you know, if you know your Marvel lore, nobody can pick that hammer up.
Right, I know. So it
maybe
just has
why
to wait.
It's just sitting there on the ground because chilling. They can't do anything, and there's a right. crater.
Yeah, around,
you know,
it. Like
and,
it yeah,
more or less
to Earth
around
or
it.
Whatever,
yeah.
right.
whatever the situation is, that's kind of.
So that's the tie into Thor coming to Earth from Asgard, I guess, is what we're going to be led
assumes.
To believe in some capacity.
One assumes. And, but let's. Can we talk a little bit more about Iron Man?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
okay.
again, I haven't seen it, so I can't contribute too much.
There was some disturbing details of the Avengers movie at the end of Iron Man.
Okay.
Will I spoil this for you if I tell you? Do you care?
No, it's
too bad.
Right.
Your ass should have got to the movies this weekend and seen it.
I was
so,
in another country.
I don't want to hear your
on
problems.
On a plane.
I don't want. You should have touched down and went to the movies.
Yes, you're right. I should have.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't want to hear, you know, ooh, sleep, leg.
Just go.
You could have slept that Iron Man and still
let
pick this up. At the end, when he's discussing the Avengers initiative with Nick Fury.
Right.
In a scene that they have used in the trailer. What they say is that he is no longer eligible for the Avengers Initiative.
Who?
Tony Stark.
Why?
Only as a
consultant. Oh, because he's revealed his identity?
No. Well, I don't know if it's because they revealed his identity or not. They said only as a consultant. Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, it means one of two things.
Civil War?
Either, no, too early. No, it means one of two things. Either they're going to have to abandon that at some point and bring Iron Man in, or it's going to be Rhodey. And Tony Stark is just going to be financing and, you know, being whatever I just said.
I would venture to say that that they're not going to scrap it. They'll address it, and then he'll, you know, he'll be accepted into it or something.
I don't know.
Maybe Rhodey will be part of it. Iron Man will be fighting alongside him against Big Bad.
This is based on S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Black Widow, who I don't think is called Black Widow in the movie, by the way.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Based on her report about Tony Stark.
We'll see.
So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's all muddled. It's all muddled and muddy and getting worse and worse.
Back to Thor, though.
Okay.
Destroyer. Now, I'm not familiar with this character.
Okay. Destroyer.
But he looks good.
They have a picture?
Have you not seen the picture of Destroyer?
No. Do you send me pictures when you, every time we go through this, do I say, when you see a picture of something that you want to talk about on the show, don't I say email me that picture or send me a link?
I thought I emailed it to you today.
Oh, you did know such thing, and now I feel like an ass. Well, I'll tell you what Destroyer is. To the best of my knowledge, Destroyer is an enchanted suit of Asgardian armor. And it's rather large. And I don't know what purpose it serves or what it protects or anything like that. But my recollection is that it is an enchanted, no person in it, just an enchanted suit of Asgardian armor. And having seen the picture now, it seems as though at least they got the armor right, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, that image is clearly a stolen image from the set. I don't think that
right.
was a meant-to-be-leaked image.
Well, we should also...
And actually, I should also say that that image has been pulled from most sites. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly this was not meant to be released. It should also be said Destroyer is not really a villain, I don't think is the right term, unless they've changed the character's origin. The best that I can recall is that, you know, he was just sort of a nuisance. Maybe Loki gets a hold of him and... You know, let's see. Much in the way that Poison Ivy was sort of controlling Mr. Freeze in that terrible Batman movie. Or Bane, rather. Bane, yeah, not Mr. Freeze.
I don't, as a general rule of thumb, I don't read Thor. So,
no, I'm just saying, I mean, that I'm trying to figure a way that they could possibly use that character. And that's what I'm thinking of.
Right.
You know, Loki in some way is controlling the Destroyer armor.
All right, moving past Marvel related. Oh, no, we can't move past Marvel related news. There's too much more. All right. So, the cost conscious expansion of the Marvel Universe, as one website titled their article when they blasted this. Did you hear about these like third of the big budget movies that Marvel's is planning on producing?
Yeah.
Dazzler.
Yeah.
Luke Cage.
Uh-huh.
Kazar, I heard, and the Power Pack. Now, was Luke Cage part of the Power Pack?
No.
Why did I think he was in Power Pack?
They're little kids.
Why did I think? Oh, you know why? Because they used to have a bunch of those. No, yeah.
Luke Cage is called Power Man.
No, but there's a crossover book from like the 80s, and it was Luke Cage and the Power Pack do something like go to the zoo or something stupid. It's one of those. It was one of those giveaway.
Sure.
Yeah, it was one of those giveaway books. I'm pretty positive because I think I had it. Hmm. Anyway,
I recall,
and Doctor Strange, I think, is in there also.
Them over a bunch, but
so there you go. And apparently, the Luke Cage movie has got the most progress made so far, because I hear that Tyrese Gibson is already in talks to play Luke Cage.
Well, that'll be exciting.
You know who Tyrese Gibson is?
That black guy?
Yeah. what are you basing that on, Kev?
Well, he's playing Luke Cage. Luke Cage is a black guy with an open yellow shirt and a chain belt.
Well, you know what? Maybe they want to not cast him as a black guy. No, he's a black guy from Transformers.
Yeah.
Speaking of casting outside of one's race, have you heard about the racial quagmire that M. Night Shyamalan is in right now over The Last Airbender?
No, what?
There is apparently some woman who started a website. I think it's like racebender.com. And she's bitching that the lead is a little white kid.
Yeah.
And that all the bad guys are little Indian kids.
Uh-huh.
and that he didn't take into account any of the actual, he didn't cast racially according to what the characters actually are.
Well, because they're not really.
Okay. So wait, this is his defense.
Okay.
His defense is that anime, right? And Airbender is anime.
Okay.
In some capacity, right?
Yeah.
Anime, really, the characters are racially ambiguous for the most part.
Right.
Right? I mean, you know,
I thought they were particularly ambiguous in that particular
right,
anime.
But I mean, you know, like, I wouldn't look at most anime and be like, oh, that's clearly, you know, an Asian. You know what I mean? Like, you watch Trigun, and that's not a Japanese dude. That looks like a white German with blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, you know what I mean? With spiky hair.
I get it.
So, and then someone in his cast, who I think is of Indian descent, said, you know what, he's damned if he do, he's damned if he didn't. If he had cast nothing but a bunch of Asians in the role, then someone would have said, oh, well, he's just casting Asians because they're doing kung fu and fighting. So really, I mean, I think it's ridiculous. Some people think there's credence to it and that he's being racist.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Nobody
Silly.
Cares. Speaking of caring, the brand new Robin Hood movie.
Yes.
Is opening as you hear this, or has opened and
has it
so
opened?
On.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starring Russell Crowe. And I had the chance just the other day to speak with one of the film's stars.
Well, look at you.
Yes, Alan Doyle.
Oh, yeah, we talked about him.
Yes, the lead singer of the band Great Big Sea, which you should check out. And that's Great Big Sea like the ocean.
Right.
Is playing Alan Adale.
Not like the C word.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be different.
That would be different. He's playing Alan Adale, who is one of Robin's merry men. I don't know why they just didn't change it to Alan Adoyle, because that's a little too close. So anyway, you've seen him in the trailers plucking the lute and so on and so forth. And he is a very gracious and a very fantastic entertainer. And I was thrilled to get a chance to talk to him. About himself and about the film and some other things. So let's play that interview.
It's Big Kev. I'm here in beautiful Bethel, New York. This is the site of the original Woodstock, and I'm here with yet another of the many thousands of musicians who have passed Through These Lands, and that's Alan Doyle from the band Great Big Sea. How are you, Alan?
Awesome. This is cool to be here, isn't it? On the site of Woodstock.
It's legendary.
Yeah, it's awesome. I feel like we should play. We should rehearse more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish we were better. It drives you to be a better musician to be here in these hallowed halls. It's cool. It's really lovely.
Let's talk about the band and the music before we get into your extravaganza film work that's coming up. So, how many years with the band now, and how many albums?
We started in around Paddy's Day in '93, so I think we just celebrated our 17th birthday, and we're just about to release a record called "Safe Upon the Shore." That we're, if you include the live record, it makes 10. That will be our 10th record.
Wow!
I know, it sounds like a lot to me.
In 17 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And a couple of DVDs and a couple other things. Yeah, it's been a busy time, but we like it. You know, it's fun.
You tour pretty much all the time, it seems, from what we were gathering, researching, interviewing you. It seems that you are on tour literally all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we try to get home a bit more than we used to, just because we all have kids now and stuff. So we're trying to keep the tours a bit shorter. But still, you know, we're gone pretty much half of every year, and some years a bit more than that and stuff. So, and earlier in our career, my God, we'd be gone the whole year. But that's all part of it, you know. That's it. When you're in a live band, you got to go play live concerts. But we like it; it's fun.
And on that, with all the travel and so on and so forth, how is it? How are you missing the family? All of you, are you missing the family?
Well, you miss things when your kids are little. You know, it's just like people say when you know because they don't wait for you, right? You know, your gal will wait for you sometimes. You know, like the party, instead of having it Friday night, they'll have it Sunday night when you get home. But your kids won't wait for you. You know, he's going to learn to play ball when he feels like learning to play ball, you know. He's going to do it with me or whoever else is there, you know. So, and I'd like it for it to be me, you know. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that plays on your mind, to be honest, when you're gone so much. But in the same respect, you know, it's what we do for a living. And that's part of your responsibility as a dad, too. So,
And you have plans to continue doing this. You're not, the film business isn't going to snatch you away from the band, is it?
I'm done. I'm done with this. No. I mean, I had great fun doing the Robin Hood film. It was a real thrill of a lifetime. You know, it was kind of a cool chance to walk, you know, in the backyard of, you know, my friends who do a different thing for a living. You know, to join them in their job. You know, that was kind of cool. And
let's talk about that Robin Hood movie, shall we? How on earth did you end up involved in that film?
It's because of my long history in theater and talent. No, I knew Russell. I've known Russell for, God, 8 or 9 years. You know, we've written lots of songs together and that kind of stuff. And
has he co-written some Great Big Sea stuff that we know about?
Yeah, like Company of Fools on the last record, and a song that's coming up on the new record. And we wrote songs for a couple other people, and we did just a bunch of stuff with his band and stuff, and had great fun. So we've known each other for 8 or 9 years, and he called me a couple of years ago and asked me if I knew how to play the lute. And I said, I think so, yeah, why? And he said, how would you like to come to L.A. and read for a movie part? I asked him what the part was, and he told me, and I said, I might get a chance to play Alan Adale. Like, that's awesome. So,
in a movie? Yeah.
So I jumped on the plane and did a read in L.A. and got the gig.
Now, your boss on that set, Ridley Scott's been on our program, and he can be a tough old bugger.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. Nobody loves it as much as Ridley. Like, he loves it, absolutely loves every second of every day on the set, loves it. And to try to keep up with him, man, it's amazing. Like, so you can't phone it in when he's around, you know, because he's the guy, you know, he's the guy that's out there, you know, lifting buckets around. And he's literally doing, picking shit up and moving it from one place to another and shoving boats out of the way and shouting at 100 soldiers to do something correctly, you know. Like, yeah, he doesn't phone it in, so you gotta be on your toes.
And it seems like there's a whole bunch of Russell's friends and formers in there. Little John, I think, and Scotty too, who did Mystery Alaska with him. Is that what it is? That Russell just calls up all his friends who may fit the part, and then says, "Come on over, and I'll see what I can do."
I mean, I've known Russell for, geez, Russell's done a dozen movies since I've known him, And this is the first one that he's ever asked me to be involved in.
Well, he needed a loop player.
Yeah. And the other guys have done some movies together since, but I think when the Merry Men concept came up, he had a very, very quick and clear vision as to who he wanted it to be. He wanted it to be me, and he wanted it to be Kev, and he wanted it to be Scott. And we just had to go prove ourselves that we could do it, you know. Kev, for obvious reasons, because, you know, he's perfect for Little John. He's 6'7" and 255 pounds, you know. And Scotty's perfect for Will Scarlet because his hair has been red, fiery red, and he's a little short. He's perfect for that model. And, you know, I could play the lute and stuff. So I didn't think it was a big stretch, you know. And he knew that there would be this camaraderie that would, you know, predate the movie and all that kind of stuff. So he was, you know, I think he thought we were just the perfect choice for the whole idea.
And they got you a line in the most recent trailer. That's got to be thrilling.
Yeah. I mean, I the film is named after another character. But, I mean, it's really, as far as I can see, it's, you know, it's an Alan A. Doyle movie. You know what I mean? Primarily.
They couldn't just make the slight change and go with Alan A. Doyle?
Yeah. It might as well. I got in the trailer, I know. Well, I mean, the Merry Men are featured in the film as much as I'd hoped, to be honest. And so I'm excited for people to see it, to be honest.
That's terrific. And recently, as before we got started, I discussed that I frame by frame went over a recent episode of Law and Order Criminal Intent, because we had heard that you were appearing in the episode, and actually it was just your music, that a song that you did, I think, specifically for the episode. And so with that aside, and now with Robin Hood, is there plans to do more film type stuff, or are you just kind of, when Russell calls for a loop player, I'm there?
Yeah, you know, it makes me sound lazy when I answer the question with what I'm about to say, but it seems like everything I've ever done in my entire adult life has appeared before me. You know, I didn't really go looking one day to get in, you know, a Celtic band from Newfoundland. And Sean walked up to me on Water Street one day and said, "Hey, man, saw you playing." I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd be cool." And then I didn't go looking for Russell one day, you know, and I didn't go. I just see, you know, we met up and then in the movie, and then I met Mike Post and did some stuff with him, and you know, so I think I might go down there. I might use the same technique of passive application, I call it. But whatever comes along, man, you know, like I've made myself available to television. You know, I've scored a couple of TV shows and a couple of series, and I've done a movie. I scored one full length movie, and I just did a video game for the first time. Did that, and, you know, it's all fun. I'm better at some stuff than other stuff, but I'll give anything a go. Once, you know, and generally if I work with people, I generally get it done, and they generally ask me back. So,
well, it's Alan Doyle. He's getting it done here in Bethel this weekend with Great Big C, and then he's going to see what gets handed to him next. So thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, man. Thanks very much.
So there it is, Alan Doyle.
Nice.
Check out the band Great Big C. Google it. Listen to the music. They're really, really terrific. I think you'll dig them. They're a little different. A little Celtic, little sea shanty.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Nice fella, too. And, of course, check out the brand new Robin Hood movie starring Russell Crowe and directed by Ridley Scott.
Cate Blanchett.
What about? Oh, yeah. She's in it, too.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people in it.
Yeah, I know.
That's Tom... Mark Strong, again, the villain in the movie.
Yeah, again. Always the villain.
Well, I don't know. Again, every Robin Hood take has always been a different one.
Yeah, there's always some
right
change to it. So,
yeah.
Monsters, Inc. 2.
Uh-huh.
Why? And I should say that not because I didn't like Monsters, Inc. Loved Monsters, Inc. Big Pixar fan. How come no Incredibles 2? That's why.
Not yet.
Well, we'll see. The Pixar slate currently does not have Incredibles 2 on it. There's Toy Story 3, which is coming out, Monsters, Inc. 2, a new movie, Brave and the...
Bold?
Batman? No, I think it's just called Brave. It was okay. Called... The original name was
Cowardice.
The Bear and the Bow.
Okay.
And they changed it to Brave.
Gee, what could that be about?
Yeah, exactly. I thought they already did that movie. What was that? Didn't they? Little Bear, Brother Bear?
Brother Bear.
Yeah.
That movie was terrible.
I know. So yeah, those are the 2012 Pixar releases.
Okay.
So Incredibles 2, not on the slate just yet, but
never know.
You never know. Were you a big fan of the Commando film starring the Governator?
No.
Well, apparently Fox Films is planning a reimagination.
Nice.
Of Commando.
Uh-huh. They're going to reimagine it as a good movie?
Likely not.
The only good thing about Commando...
Radon.
No. No, the bad guy in it was actually Vernon... I think it's Vernon Wells, who was also the bad guy in the original Road Warrior movie. The reddish mohawk guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Same bad guy. I really like him. But even him in that movie with his... He had an awful chainmail vest in Commando. Ugh, it was just, it was pretty horrendous. A very young, what's her name in that flick, too? From Charmed.
Who?
Alyssa Milano.
Was she in that?
She was the daughter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not remembering it, but I believe you.
Trust me.
I do.
I went through an Alyssa Milano phase.
I'm sure you did.
And last week when it came out of it.
When you came out of it? When you woke up from that?
No, thing? No. Nonsense. Once she was naked, who cared?
We're going to move into a little bit of sad news now.
Yeah?
We have two very sad things to report this week.
Oh, boy.
Both surrounding Conan.
Okay.
First is the first looks at Jason Momoa in the Conan gear. Looks just silly.
Silly.
You saw the pictures of those ones?
I did.
He looks just silly.
Despite your
not sending them
attempts
to
keep them from me.
Just looks silly. Yeah. And that's all I want to say about that.
Uh-huh.
The actual really sad news, though, is what's his name passed away this week? Ooh. Frank Frazetta.
Oh, did
like
he?
2 days ago.
I didn't know that.
He died at like 90 or whatever the hell, however old he was.
Wow.
So for those of you who don't know, Frank Frazetta...
Long-time fantasy artist.
Was he the visual creator of... He did, like, a bunch of the old books, didn't he? The old comics and stuff
Oh, yeah,
like
he did. Yeah, he's done
He's probably
a bunch
done
of...
the most iconic Conan images.
Probably.
Drawn Conan, or painted, I guess, right? Because he was a painter. Mm-hmm. Painted images that you know.
Maybe,
Yeah, man, really sad. He was a talented man. I don't know if I ever met him.
No.
At a con or anything like that. I don't think he ever was around.
Not that I've ever heard of.
No. Yeah.
Maybe in the 70s he was, or in the early 80s, but I don't recall ever seeing Frank Frazetta ever.
Yeah,
so.
That's
I thought he was dead, to be honest. I'm sorry he just died. I thought he was dead like long ago.
No,
dead.
May
like
10th,
Jack Kirby did.
He was 82 years old.
Wow, 82.
Yeah, man. Oh, there you go. Judge Dredd in 3D.
Of course.
Moving on. That's something we care about.
Wait, starring whom?
We don't know yet. Directed by Pete Travis, who I don't know who Pete Travis is, to be honest with you.
Guy who's directing the new Dredd movie.
Thanks.
Are they getting Stallone back?
I don't think that they're getting Stallone back. Did you see Vantage Point or Endgame?
Yes.
All right, he directed both of those.
Okay, Vantage Point, what was the second one?
Endgame?
I don't know that one.
Came out
but
in 2009?
Vantage Point I've seen, and that was a good flick.
So there you go. All right. This is something that's very excited, and I think that you might actually be very excited as well. You're a Three Musketeers fan.
Okay.
Are you not? Is that
incorrect? Sure. Yes, I would say.
Did you see Inglourious Basterds?
No.
Oh.
I'm sad to say I did not see Inglourious.
Well, you know who Christoph Waltz is.
I do know who Christoph Waltz is.
So Christoph Waltz is going to be playing Cardinal Richelieu in Paul Anderson's Three Musketeers film coming out in the near future.
Paul Anderson, like Fantastic Mr. Fox and...
No, that's Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. So who's
Paul Anderson?
That name's familiar too.
Not much. To really boast about. Although I did like Resident Evil.
The first one,
2002, 2003, uh-huh. Whenever that was. And Event Horizon, still the scariest movie I've ever seen, starring Sam Neill. So I liked Event Horizon as well.
Scariest movie ever starring Sam Neill.
No, just scary. No, that movie really, that's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. And I've talked to a lot of people about it. And, you know, you ask people like what the scariest movie is, and it's always like, you know, The Exorcist or the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then I'm always like, no, man, Event Horizon. Like, holy shit, yeah, that movie really scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah, Event Horizon
was
a
creepy, scary,
scary
movie.
That's like a haunted space movie.
Yeah, but there's that with the no flesh in the... Ah, it's just a scary fucking movie.
It was Lawrence Fishburne in that also, right?
Yes. No. So.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Event Horizon?
No,
Lawrence Fishburne
was in...
Bet.
Lawrence Fishburne was in Sphere.
Bet me.
No, he was in it. You're right.
He was not in Sphere, nerd.
Was
that was
Sphere.
Sam Jackson.
Oh, was that Sam Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Ah, whatever. Anyway.
Could have made so much money just then. You probably pay me in pounds, though.
So, I got a lot of those left. Yo, their coin system is ridiculous.
I know.
So, Christoph Waltz is playing Cardinal Richelieu.
Yes.
Ray Stevenson as Porthos.
Uh-huh. You know who he is.
Yes.
Punisher. Luke... War Journal.
Yeah, Rome.
War.
Yeah, War Journal.
Wasn't War Journal. Was it War Journal?
Yeah, it was
War Zone.
War Zone.
Yeah. War Journal was the book.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Luke Evans as Athos.
Luke Evans. Now, that name is familiar.
Luke Evans was just in Clash of the Titans, which I know is... he was Apollo in Clash of the Titans.
Okay.
But still. And then also Matthew McFadden as Aramis.
You know who that is?
He was in Death at a Funeral. Mila Jovovich as Milady de Winter.
Who's he playing?
Silly. And Logan Lerman as young D'Artagnan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That sounds pretty decent.
Who's the kid? Has he been in anything?
He was the one that they thought was going to replace Tobey Maguire in the upcoming Spidey reboot.
Okay.
But that clearly is not happening now. He was Percy Jackson in Percy Jackson and the Olympian.
Oh, okay. That
the Lightning
kid.
Thief. Uh-huh. He was in Jack and Bobby. Remember the TV show Jack and Bobby?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Bobby.
Okay. He was the young one.
Yeah. He was in 3:10 to Yuma.
You know who else is in Jack and Bobby?
Who?
Jessica Perret, who was recently in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes.
In the hot tub scene.
Yes.
Which I was kind of surprised that it was her because I figured, like, she wouldn't go for the cheap buck topless role because she's, like, done some acting.
Well, bless her soul.
And yes, and the rest of her.
and other assets.
Yes. And if you've seen her body of work, sir.
Not just her body.
Correct. You might want to check out a little film where she has a love scene with Piper Perabo.
Okay.
And what's that film called?
Lost
in Delirious.
Yes, Lost in Delirious.
Yes. That was quite a film.
Well, on that note, how about we take our first break?
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
We'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 191, OG of Sherwood.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Ridley Scott. I'm director of The Blade Runner.
More human than human is our motto.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 191, OG of Sherwood.
Uh-huh.
I guess we should move into something we kind of let lapse for a little bit. We had a random entry giveaway contest a couple
that's
weeks
right.
back. We forgot to announce that winner with all the hullabaloo and me going away.
Right.
So congratulations to Darren Anderson for winning that contest. Mr. Anderson, you know how to get a hold of me. Shoot me your email, geekstuffog@gmail.com. Shoot me your mailing information, and we'll put a prize in the mail to you.
OG will put a fabulous prize in the mail. It'll be fabulous.
Darren, good fan of the show. Listens all the time, always comments, always contributes.
Nice.
So thank you, Darren, and everybody else who entered that contest. It's much appreciated. More contests coming next week, I believe.
That's true. We are going to kick off another big contest next week, so there's that. May have something to do with our 200th episode.
Right.
Coming 200th episode event.
It is an event.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say, we could safely say at this point, that we will be hosting a live event for the 200th episode.
That's true.
We don't know that it's going to be broadcast live just yet. We're working on that aspect.
Right.
But we will have a live studio audience, and that audience will be made up of you,
yes.
Listeners.
Yes.
And we will announce the date in another week or two.
And there'll be food.
There will be food, perhaps beverage.
There will be some beverages.
Perhaps some special guests on the show for that episode.
Possibly some special guests.
I'm lining up a couple people, so I think it'll be good.
Well, your special guests and my special guests are probably not the same.
No, but, you know, I'm lining up some people you've seen on the show or heard on the show before. Perhaps some new people. You never know.
Okay.
All right.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
All right. Let's quickly go over what came out 2 weeks ago when I was away.
Okay.
Tooth Fairy.
Yes. That's the Dwayne Johnson vehicle. I heard good things about that flick.
Heard decent things about it, too.
I didn't buy it. I'm waiting to give it a look-see before I decide whether or not to purchase it. But right now, it's on the wait for cable list.
Also out, Hamlet, 2009 version, starring David Tennant and Patrick Stewart.
Did that come out on DVD?
It did.
Wow. Now, see, that I might pick up.
I'm interested in picking that up.
Yeah, David Tennant, of course, from Doctor Who fame.
Right.
And Patrick Stewart from
everything.
What
fame.
Do you got?
Right, exactly.
Star Trek, X-Men.
Everything.
Other things. Yeah.
Also, real quickly, Penn & Teller BS Season 7. Marvel,
BS?
Iron Man.
The show's called BS?
Bullshit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvel Iron Man, the complete animated series, 3-disc set, came out.
Which series is that?
I think that's the newer one that came out only 2 years ago, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
So pass. Right, let's talk about what came out this week. And there's two that I want to bring up. One I'm holding in my hand.
Legion.
Yes, Legion. Based on the comic of the same name, I believe.
Yes.
And I don't know who put that comic out, OG. Maybe you can find that out while I'm saying that I got the Blu-ray edition. Has special features, including creating the apocalypse, which is stuff about the physical effects, cast and characters, another look at the visual effects, and some other things. There's also some Blu-ray exclusives on here, which are becoming more commonplace, I have to say. A terrific story about angels and the end of mankind. And, you know, I have a soft place in my heart for these angel stories. You know what I mean? Like angels and bad angels
and
good angels. And I really like that terrible series with Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
Prophecy.
Prophecy, yeah.
Yeah, I really like all the Prophecy movies, even despite the fact that...
I liked Constantine. There was an angel in that.
Constantine, yeah, that's another fine example. Constantine. I didn't like Michael. The John Travolta comedy.
It was okay. It was an amazing...
When you don't have angels doing combat with one another and or other people,
right.
Not as interesting as combat-ready angels.
Dogma.
To an extent... Yes.
Angels doing combat.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying with, I appreciated those. I know. I appreciated the aspects about Dogma that tie into this concept. So, yes. But Legion, check it out. Were you able to ascertain who put out the
book?
IDW. Yes, of course. That's out. And then the other one I wanted to talk about that came out this week starred Ethan Hawke and... couple of other people. It's called Daybreakers.
Oh, Daybreakers. Yes.
Yeah. It's Willem Dafoe, I think,
also in
that. And then
Sam Neill. Sam Neill is in that too, right?
Could be the scariest movie you've ever seen with Sam Neill.
It might be.
Just saying. I heard, though, conceptually, it's really, really good. Apparently, some sort of plague has taken over the Earth, and vampires now rule the Earth, and they're running out of humans.
Right.
And there's some sort of farming humans thing that goes on there, but apparently it's really well laid out, and I hear the story is actually pretty good. And the look of the film looks pretty excellent also. Now,
yeah.
I didn't pick it up, but I think I might.
That's a Netflix cue for me.
Yeah,
that'll go on the queue.
I could do that. I could do that live. I think now.
Yeah,
I think I can just do that through my Blu-ray player.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you probably should have to sign up for the account.
Yeah.
A couple other things that came out. I thought maybe we should quickly mention Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson. Looked halfway decent. Mel Gibson kind of returning to an action-y type role.
Meh.
And Daria, the complete animated series.
Yeah, I heard that was coming.
Yeah, that came out. I liked Daria. I didn't mind Daria.
Okay. No one's complaining here.
No, I'm just saying. You know, it was a decent show. You know, it was a follow-up almost to Beavis and Butthead.
You know, what I think also came out last week? Saving Private Ryan came to Blu-ray.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it might have. I didn't see that, but
I think that's what possible. I picked up while you were away. So, yeah, DVDs.
Ooh, Rock and Roll High School on Blu-ray.
Ugh.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comic books to check out before OG starts going down the list of useless DVDs.
High anxiety.
I bought Wolverine number 900. What, you say? 900, you say? Yeah, I don't get it either. It's an awfully thick book at $4.99. And it has a series of short Wolverine couple-page stories. There's one in here called Desperate Measures. Takes place after the events of X-Men 75. So I'm not really sure exactly how that all fits into things. I'm not really even sure what this book is, in all honesty.
Okay.
Is this the result of the Wolverine writing contest from years ago, or I'm not really sure. I'm asking the wrong dude. Yeah, I know. But I don't have an answer other than there's no explanation in the book as to what this book is, except that it's a series of Wolverine stories. It's Wolverine 900. I don't know what else to say. It's weird. Very thick book, but it looks like a bunch of different writers and a bunch of different artists. So maybe they're using it as kind of a, you know, meet the artists kind of thing.
All right. Fair enough.
Dumb. From DC, it's The Shield with the special second feature, The Fox, that we've been raving about from our friend Mike Oeming. The Shield in this episode meets the JSA.
Well, fancy.
Yeah, which means they're again trying to fold these characters into the regular DC universe, which I think is a mistake. I think they should have just left them out where they were, but that's my opinion and nobody cares. The Fox, however, makes the book worth buying. I hope they do The Fox and The Hangman as their own trades.
Although yeah, I don't know, that would be great for me.
Right. I don't know if that's the plan or intention, but it certainly seems like that would be a good idea. Batman 699. You know what that means, don't you?
What, 700?
One more issue to 700. Yeah. And also coming out today, tied into Batman, was Bruce Wayne, The Return of Bruce Wayne, something like that, issue one of the miniseries.
Yes, that is out.
Right. And you might be interested to know, sir, that in the back of this book is a several page sneak preview of Green Arrow number one.
Yes, that's coming out in like 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
Oh,
part of Brightest Day, yet another giant, stupid crossover.
There's another book that came out this week, but you might have it in your pile, so I'm not going to mention it.
Okay, well, it's Batman 699, Tony Daniel and Sandel Florella bringing us up to that magical 700 where we presume something big will happen. I can only guess what it would be. From the pages of Kevin Smith's Green Hornet, it's Kato number one.
Is Kato a chick?
Yes.
In his book, I haven't been reading it. I've been waiting for a collection, but
I'm trying to figure out if this is a reprint, and yes, the Kevin Smith Kato is a chick.
Is a chick, yeah, because I saw the cover art for that issue.
Yeah. Not really sure how all that works. I'm still trying to suss my way through the Green Hornet stuff. And while I'm at it, I guess I will add, also from Dynamite Entertainment, it's the Green Hornet Strikes, number one.
There's just too much.
No, but this one I actually think is going to be really good. I think it's a little bit more of a futuristic kind of take, like he's a descendant, maybe, although I'm totally guessing at that. Anyway, I like the look of this book much better than I like the look of some of the other books. So, look, I like them all. Who am I kidding? I'm a junkie for the Green Hornet. I always have been. Green Hornet, Kato. I'm reading everything that Dynamite puts out, even though I think it's a ridiculous... It's up to six or seven titles now.
It's
outrageous.
It's too much. How do you keep up with all of this crap?
I don't know,
and
sir.
I'm sad to say that some of it may likely well be crap. Something else that came out this week that I don't think you mentioned, but didn't the new Birds of Prey book come out this week? Birds of Prey number one out this week also?
Didn't notice.
Yeah, I might have to pick that up. You know
why?
Well, it's Black Canary.
Oh yeah, well,
And I mean, you might want to consider picking it up. It's I think Harley is involved in some way, shape, or form.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think so.
I don't know.
All right, just saying.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
And there's a bunch of it this week. I got a couple to blow through quick. You got some, so
let's roll through it. Latest release from DC Direct, and we haven't talked a lot about DC Direct stuff too much lately. It seemed like for a while there, every other week we were talking about DC Direct, but I don't know, economy or whatever, they seem to have slowed down, or maybe they're just hitting points that aren't really shining with us. But I'll tell you what does shine, sir. It's Justice Society of America series number 2. Now, these are action figures based on the art and design of one Alex Ross.
Okay.
They come in the square packaging that they've produced all of these pieces in. Also the Justice pieces and some other things. Series 2 consists of 4 characters: Stargirl, Hourman, Cyclone, and Kingdom Come Superman. And just so you know, the Kingdom Come Superman, which is the one everybody's like, huh? It's the Superman from Earth 22, sir. And the JSA tried to prevent the disastrous turn of events experienced on Earth 22 from happening on New Earth by stopping Gog before he can choose a successor. So that was a storyline tying those JSA along with the Kingdom Come universe. And there it is. So... they're gray figures. The sculpting is terrific. Of course, I'm holding Cyclone in my hand, which is just a terrific figure.
Yeah, she's nice. I like the hair.
Yeah. It's what if Pippi Longstocking grew up and became a superhero is what it looks like to me. Hourman, also a great figure with the hourglass hanging around his neck. Stargirl, who is, we should say, originally known as the second Star Spangled Kid, Courtney Whitmore now goes by the name of Stargirl, after being presented with the Cosmic Staff by Jack Knight, who is Starman, upon joining the JSA. Shooting stars from her cosmic converter belt, Stargirl can also manipulate energy using the Cosmic Staff. So, you know, at one point she was one character, she gets the staff, now she's part of the Starman line of heroes, I guess. That book Starman was really good, by the way.
I know.
Hourman, Cyclone, terrific figures overall. You can display them right in the pack, or you can open them up for what I think would be a fabulous display. I'm really debating on whether I should open all of these at some point and display them like that, or whether I should keep them shut and display them like that. I'm really torn about it. Because I have them all.
I know.
Kingdom Come, all the Alex Ross based.
I know, all the Alex Ross based ones.
I don't know. I got to see.
You'll come to a decision.
I know.
All right. Something we don't typically talk about on this show.
Bathing?
Bathing.
It's like the third reference to bathing today.
But this is like the first time ever. We never talk about shower, soap. Soap? When have we talked about soap?
Never.
Well, we're talking about soap today.
Okay.
Luxury Lane Soap. Kylie Lane is the young entrepreneur behind this lovely product.
Okay.
She's got all these cool sculpted soaps
that
she's putting out. And you say, why do we care? Because there are some that are definitely right up our alley.
All
right. Now, the one I have here in Studio A with me today is the Han Solo in Carbonite soap.
Which is clearly, I mean, to me, it looks clearly like a lift from a 3 3/4.
It does. It looks like, it almost looks like the, it came with the Slave One.
Yeah. Yeah. You know old school. I mean, yeah. It's been released other ways since then, but yeah.
But, so I don't know, you know, I don't know how, you know, I think it's sculpted, but.
Sure.
But, it the mold
still
is.
Be, yeah, oh, yeah, it could yeah, still yeah. be based on that.
Oh, absolutely. The mold is fantastic. I mean, I have no intention of actually using this soap. I don't think. I think I just wanted
no,
it
why would
it was
you?
Han Solo and Carbonite.
There you go.
But it's really well done. It's really cool. The packaging on it is really cool. She had two different versions of the packaging on this. It was regular, like, you know, English on the back. And then it was like that weird Jabba's Palace lettering on the back. That's the one that I got because, you know.
Did you order these online?
I did.
Where can the people go and check these out?
Luxury Lane Soap. .com is okay. The website. Real
I
quick,
get them
though,
quick before Lucas hops on there and goes, "You ain't making soap out of my people."
Well, that one is currently on back order. But she also has a generic Star Wars logo one. She's got a yellow submarine one, which is pretty cool. She's got a Hello Kitty one, a Lego brick one, which I think is really cool. I like the Lego brick one. But my second favorite one that I think I may have to order at some point is the Fight Club soap.
It just pink.
It's the pink and it says
Club?
The Fight Club on it.
That's pretty funny.
It's and it looks really good. It looks terrific. Really cool. And it's, you know, reasonably priced. I think Han was like $6.50 maybe.
And what kind of soap is this?
Handmade soap. Vegan
does,
soap?
Does it have a smell or is it made of elderberries?
No,
or?
I think some of them are scented. I don't think the Carbonite one is scented. I don't think the Fight Club one is scented. But, you know, she has like some other regular, you know, like hemp soaps and raspberry soaps and other bath soaps that are scented and whatnot.
But, I see.
But the geeky soaps, I don't believe
are the ones that need the fragrance more than the other soaps.
Are you saying that geeks stink?
Are you saying they don't?
I've been trapped at a sweaty convention surrounded by own people, and some of us stink.
I have no frame of reference whatsoever,
you
sir.
You have no sense of smell.
I have no sense of smell. So if anyone here is saying geeks stink, it's you.
I might be saying that some geeks stink. So definitely Luxury Lane soap, definitely worth checking out. Go over there and get your Han and Carbonite and your Fight Club soap now. QMX. I'm reluctant. I'm still bitter.
I know.
About the ship.
We're all bitter
still
about it.
A little sad on the inside about the ship. But I will say that I was early on in the bandwagon to pick up my QMX Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
All right, we have to take a 2-second tangent.
Okay.
I posted something on the message boards
right.
about a week or two ago about Joss Whedon directing the Avengers.
Yes.
And this is over at octoberdoys.com/forum. You can get to it from the forums link on the website, on
Big
our website.
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
But in our section, there is a movie section. In the Big Kev's Geek Stuff section, there's a movie section. There's a conversation about the Avengers.
Yes.
And I posted something in there about Joss, and I was talking about, you know, some of the work that he had done. And I put in there Firefly. And then in parentheses, I put, you know, cue music. You know, as a joke, because
right.
it's a running joke. Well, someone with administrative access to the boards went back and edited my post and added in the YouTube video of Sonny Rhodes, who is the gentleman that performs the theme song, and input the video into the middle of my post.
Nice.
I thought that was very funny. And I think that it might have been George.
Somebody with editorial privileges is very funny over there.
So if George, if it was you, the humor was much appreciated. That being said, QMX has put out a pewter finish metal heavy, I should say.
Pewter finished.
Yes.
Meaning it's not made
pewter.
Of pewter. So it's scrap metal.
Metal.
Painted with pewter.
Firefly Serenity replica keychain. It's awesome. It's a great little replica. Uh-huh. I don't think that I'd actually put it on my keychain, as it may break off the steering column because it weighs a bit.
Now, was that one $200?
No, this one was...
Okay, because I'm just going based on pricing structures of other products. Pricing,
yeah. No, this one was a mere $10, I believe. I think like $9, I believe. Uh-huh. So they're still available. You can go over to...
I bet.
You can go over to QMXinsider.com, hey, I think is a website.
You know what? QMX is...
Still puts out amazing product.
Amazing product. Unfortunately, I think they've alienated a lot of fans.
Well, their pricing is still...
Ridiculous.
I can't get behind the pricing of some of
the
products.
I think the products are great.
I love the stuff.
Yeah.
And not just the ship. There are other things that come out, and I'm like...
Yep.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
QMX
I just
Online,
think,
by the way.
Okay. I just think that they, at this point, I think they've alienated the fans to the point where I think they're going to see more drop-off, which is a shame because they're doing excellent, excellent products, and it's just a shame that, you know, that I think it's sort of come down to, you know, people being upset about the fact that here's something they've been waiting for all that time, and to get to that price point, I mean, geez.
So, yeah, QMXonline.com. Check it out and, you know, cry like I do. I still need so much stuff from their site. I hate it.
Can you order that ship still, or is that over?
I don't know if they sold out. I'll be honest with you, I haven't really checked.
I bet you no.
I would think probably no, although I could be wrong.
Yeah.
If you remember back at Toy Fair this year, we talked about a product. I think we talked about this product. It was a book of paper toys.
Yeah.
That were coming out. And we've talked about some other paper toys on the show in the past. And,
okay.
And this is not that book.
Oh, okay.
That we saw at Toy Fair. However, since that time, I've been kind of like following other paper toys
right.
that are coming out. And there is a website, I believe they're in the Netherlands, this woman who does them, Dolly Oblong. And I think the website is dollyoblong.com, dollyoblong.com. And, she's putting out these pretty cool looking like little paper toys.
Nice.
So I did get one. She had a contest a couple weeks back that I entered and I actually won.
Wow.
I was one of the winners in the contest. And this is Vlad the Third. So it's like a little kind of cute kid vampire piece.
Okay.
But some of the other ones she has is like baby Boris. It's like a Boris Karloff, I think Frankenstein type of piece. But she's got a bunch of these paper toys. They're really cool, worth checking out. They scare the hell out of me.
Why? Let me see.
Well, so pretty much how these things come, they come on like a high quality
card.
Like, you know, you can hear.
Yeah, it's a light card stock.
You know, so it's pretty thick and pretty durable.
Right.
Except that, you know, to assemble this thing, you've got to cut along all these fine lines, bend it on the lines, shape it, and put it together. I just know that when I try to put this thing together, which I will try,
right?
It's gonna end up looking like a slightly semi-retarded vampire.
So you're just scared.
The biggest issue that I've seen with paper toys is difficulty in putting them together. Now, I have seen some companies, not this one, I have seen some companies where they come on the high quality cardstock,
right?
But they're punch out.
That's true. I've seen that.
See? Now, they all should be punch out.
Sure.
It's probably more expensive and brings up production value.
Right.
Would be my guess, and that's why they don't do it more.
Right.
But still, if you're interested in paper toys, and we'll probably talk about some more in the future as we get more here on the show, dollyoblong.com. She has some really cool stuff over there. So check it out.
Nice.
And with that.
Yes. Let's take our final break. And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 191, OG of Sherwood.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, the king of cult films, live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey, gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 191, OG of Sherwood.
Yes. Do you know, OG, before we get into the... the wrap up,
right?
Which we're still doing, by the way,
right?
Because, well, oh! in any event,
I have to add something to art to the show.
What?
To my recap of my trip.
Okay.
I got a donation
from who?
When I was in Automatic Comics, you know, Matt Booker, our friend, owns a store. I met a couple of fans that day as well. Came out to the shop that were out there. We have some UK fans.
Nice.
And one of them, a gentleman by the name of Francis.
Francis.
Who listens every week and contributes every week. He's a good guy. He's a very nice guy. Cool hanging out with him.
Francis.
He gave me a shiny £5 note donation.
Wow. What's that? Is that like $2.50?
No, it's like $8.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
The stipulation was, as I hand it to you, he wants me to tell you that you have to apologize. And I said, for what? And he said, everything.
He's suggesting I have to apologize?
Yeah, for everything. But he wasn't more specific past that.
I'm supposed to apologize for everything.
Now, clearly, you don't have to apologize for everything because he's already given me the £5 note. So it really is moot
okay.
at this point.
Okay, Francis. Let me apologize for a couple of things. I'm so sorry that your country is always the doormat that our country has to come in and save. To quote the great Kevin Klein, if it wasn't for us, you'd all be speaking German. You want to know where you'd be without the good old US of A? I'm sorry to inform you that you'd be the smallest province in the Russian Empire. How about that? How about that apology?
Oh, there you go. In all seriousness, thank you to Francis. And again, thank you to everybody who has continued to contribute.
Yes.
And
we appreciate it. Of course, that donate button remains active over at the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Yep. And the donations have helped. We haven't reached our goal yet, but those donations have helped.
Well, I should say that while we have not reached our goal, we have begun to make some improvements.
It is true.
We have replaced some equipment.
A couple of things have been
repaired.
We
have helped, you know, just in general and some new, you know, mics and mixer and stuff like that. So we are on our way to a bigger and brighter future. Thanks to you, the fans. And again, thank you to our UK fans.
Yep.
The handful of you that I know exist.
And speaking of bigger and better things, July.
About it.
Before the 200th episode.
Yes.
A bigger and better thing will occur. We just talked about it during the break.
Oh. Yes, I know.
We have to have dinner with that
guy. Yeah.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Big news coming down the pipeline.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we won't say it at this time.
Yeah.
That's pretty big news.
That is big news.
Entirely separate thing, but big news.
Right.
And for once, it is not Big Kev's Eat Stuff.
It is not Big Kev's Eat Stuff.
That's coming.
So you said
it's still coming.
You know, I've been.
It's
collecting.
Not my fault because
I've been collecting.
Just Mike was ready to head that project.
I have a small pile at
before.
Home.
What?
I have a small pile of stuff. At home.
I know.
Because I said my contribute. I was going to blog about food related toys.
Yes.
For Big Kevs, and I have a pile of stuff that I'm waiting to.
And we on. Got some stuff at Toy Fair. I made some connections at Toy Fair that were very interesting. So
let's wrap up.
What did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, OG of Sherwood?
Iron Man 2 and Thor. Monsters, Inc. 2. Dazzler and Nick Cage. No, not Nick Cage. Luke Cage.
Yes.
Oof. Doctor Strange, etc.
We also heard an interview I did with Alan Doyle, the lead singer of the band Great Big Sea. That's sea like ocean, not sea like... C word. From the brand new film Robin Hood, he plays Alan Adale. Check it out in theaters near you.
Fox is bringing back Commando. Sadly, we lost a great illustrator this past week, Frank Frazetta. And sadly, we also saw the first pictures of Jason Momoa as Conan. Also, Pete Travis directing a 3D remake of Judge Dredd. Paul W.S. Anderson's Three Musketeer film starring a pretty decent cast.
Not to be confused with Paul Thomas Anderson.
No, not right. Or Wes Anderson.
Or Wes Anderson.
Correct. None of those people.
No.
And I think that was the bulk of the news.
In DVDs tonight, we talked about Legion out on DVD this week. And also Daybreakers, another terrific looking movie. We also mentioned a bunch that came out while OG was in Europe. In comics this week, we recommend Green Hornet Strikes number 1 and Kato number 1 from Dynamite. From DC, it's Batman 699 and the Shield number 9. And from Marvel, it's the mysterious Wolverine 900 anthology book that we can't explain.
Product tonight. We talked about a new series from DC Direct. This is
Justice
Society, right?
Justice Society of America Series 2 consists of four characters based on the artwork of Alex Ross and sculpted by a variety of people. Stargirl, Hourman, Cyclone, and Kingdom Come Superman are the ones in this series. You can still get Series 1 if you're looking. Golden Age, Green Lantern, The Flash, Sandman, and Starman comprise the first series. Terrific figures. DC Direct is still knocking us dead with these pieces, and I, for one, am a huge fan.
We also talked about QMX's Serenity Replica Pewter Finished Metal Keychain.
Pewter Finished.
Out now. You can get that over at QMXOnline.com. A reasonably priced replica of the ship Serenity.
Debatable.
Also, we talked about Luxury Lane soap from Kylie Lane. She's got some awesome geek-related soaps.
Uh-huh.
Han Solo and Carbonite, the Fight Club soap, a couple
and
of
others.
Other things. LuxuryLaneSoap.com for that. And also, Dolly Oblong for paper toys. And I just went over to their site, and they have other toys, plush, vinyl, as well. And some of the paper toys mentioned, you can actually download right off the site.
Oh, nice.
So, DollyOblong.blogspot.com. To go there and check those out. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
So don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have each and every episode of the show, including all of our Studio Vs, all of our new episodes, old episodes, photo galleries to go along with all the episodes, and some exciting stuff coming down the pipeline in the future.
New Studio Vs for sure.
New Studio Vs in the future.
Uh-huh.
And
stay tuned for more details about our live 200th show event, where you could be part of the live studio audience, where there'll be food, folks, and fun.
We will be announcing the date of that show probably next week or the week after.
Yeah.
And we'll give you, at that time you can email me if you want to get on the guest list.
Yes. Join us. Be very exclusive. No, really, no.
Like three people.
If you're around,
if you happen
in.
To be in the area, and actually, I kind of teased the fact that we were going to do it, and I got some positive responses. So
catered affair.
Hopefully it's a good night of friends and fans and guests and show.
You offer them punch and pie.
They will. I was told there was going to be punch and pie.
There will be punch and pie.
Excellent.
I don't know if it'll be exactly punch and pie, but there'll be drinks.
It could
food.
Be beer and soda.
It could be.
beer and pizza.
We should just put punch and pie at the bottom of the advert.
At the advert,
which will appear soon, I think.
And I think that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Do you have any final words?
No, I'm going to end this show as we end all shows by saying goodnight, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know, yeah, I'll win now, sometimes I lose. I've been battered, but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. It's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. Genie sings on the corner, what keeps her from dying? Let them say what they want, she won't stop trying. Stumble if they push her out. She might fall, but she'll never lie down. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's alright. It's alright, it's alright. There's always some sorrow, and it's a double-edged knife, but there's always tomorrow. You know, it's up to you now if you sink or swim. Just keep the faith that your ship will come in. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. It's alright, it's alright, 'cause I've got a smile.